Genesis chapter 26. And we'll read again verse 15. Genesis 26 at verse 15. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped it, filling them with earth. And especially the last words of this verse, the Philistines stopped them, filling them with earth. Here we have an account of Isaac in this land where wells were very important. It was important for the people and it was important for their flocks. And it was important for people to meet too when they were watering their flocks and herds. And many a person met at wells in a couple of chapters before this. The Lord God spoke to Hagar when she saw that her son Ishmael was going to die with thirst. The angels of heaven spoke to her. And when her eyes were opened, when God opened her eyes, she saw a well of water and she gave a drink to her son. But envy closed the wells. Isaac was getting richer and richer, and his flocks and herds were getting bigger and bigger. And we have an account here that he planted a hundredfold was the result of what he sowed. And he was growing and growing, for the Lord was blessing him all the time. And because of envy, the Philistines closed the wells with earth. And there's always a danger with envy. Was it not envy that caused our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to go to a cross on Calvary? Because the high priests, they were envious of him. The people were following him, and he was getting more and more popular, and they were seeing that all the people in the end would follow him. So they decided to put him to death. But the question for us is, have the Philistines closed our wells? Each and every of us know those that have their eyes opened, that we have Philistines within our own household, the household of our own hearts. Those that speak to us when we are tried, they say to us, "Where is thy God?" And the Philistines try to close the wells which our parents and grandparents drank from. And we remember we're fortunate in these islands for what they taught us when we were very young. They had morning and evening worship. And I hope that none of us has closed that wells that the Philistines haven't made us close them. To come to the Lord in prayer morning and evening, and also to read his good book. The Philistines that could be named for that is, we could be careless. The Philistines of carelessness make us idle to open God's Word. And our parents and grandparents, they were always at the place of worship, morning and evening, not only putting their own family in the safe hands of the Saviour, but those that were dangerous on the sea and in the air and on land, especially at the time of wars. They would be always remembering them in their prayers. And many of her parents were sailors on the sea, and they knew their danger, especially at time of war. They had to fight the seas and the storms and all that, but they had also to fight the enemies that were under the sea and on the sea and above the sea in the air. And they always put their trust in the Saviour, that he would guide them to the haven of their own choice. I hope that each and every one of us will remember to keep that wells open in our daily walk with our God. And also on the Sabbath day, they showed us and took us to the wells where we got blessings for ourselves and where others got blessing, where they met and had sweet fellowship with each other. It was at this well that many met friends that they had for life. Just the same as Abraham sent his servants to find a wife for Isaac, and he found Rebecca, and Rebecca came and became Isaac's wife. And also later on, Jacob met Rachel at the well also, and they became man and woman. But it's the marriage that lasts for time and for eternity that people have met at the well of Sabbath worship. They met with the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, sometimes when they were not expecting it. The Lord spoke to them, and because the Lord spoke to them, they obeyed, and there was no turning back then. And also there's the well of the prayer meeting, the midweek prayer meeting. We used to see the people about us, neighbours, even at the time of harvest. And even although the weather was unkind at times, and then there would be a good spell, and even in the good spell, they would leave everything and go to the prayer meeting, because they were finding that the well of the prayer meeting was quenching their spiritual thirst, and they were getting blessings for their soul. And also, when we were very young, we were taught to go to the places where the death had come into the home, and there would be family worship. And also the day of the funeral, what I see such a difference now is the young people, they're not so often at the funerals. And now Little Island and Scarpe, all the young people that weren't in school used to follow after the coffin. And there was as if a cloud of sadness on the whole island, especially when young people were taken away, some of them by drowning. It put a cloud over us and showed us too the frailty of man, also the brevity of time and also the preciousness of time. We all knew that if we didn't have our Lord and Saviour as our Redeemer, we knew that we would be lost. The word of God was preached to us in all sincerity, and many a time I thought it over. If I was lost, it was definitely because I didn't give ear to the word of God, that I wanted to go my own way. And though I was on the clean side of the narrow way, if you're on the narrow way, on the clean side of the broad way, if you're on any side of the broad way, you're as lost on one side as you are on the other. And the sooner you get off on the next exit, is head for the cross at Calvary. That's where we found shelter, and that's where we found peace. Now, the well that has its source coming from the cross of Christ, the opener arms of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. It beckons all to come to him. He was the sacrifice that ended all sacrifices for our sins. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God had to cover his nakedness with the skins of animals. These animals were the first sacrifices offered up. But these sacrifices were only pointers to the day when God himself would find a lamb as the pure sacrifice. Abraham's faith was tried when he was told to go out to the Mount Moriah and sacrifice his son Isaac. And as sure as Abraham lifted the knife to strike Isaac his son, he was also ready to take the knife down and kill him, for he believed that God would bring him up from the dead again. But before that, Isaac had said, "The fire and the wood bequeaths the lamb." And Abraham said God would provide for himself a lamb. God did provide himself a lamb on Mount Moriah. When Abraham looked behind him, a lamb, a ram found in a thicket, caught by his horns. And that took place of his own son as a sacrifice. But on Mount Calvary, there was no ram in a thicket. He had to be the sacrifice. His disciples had fled. The women were afar off. And the loneliness of that hour, who can understand it, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This was our Saviour. He knew the blessings of heaven, the richness of the communion he had with the Father and with the Spirit. And now, all alone, when he took on the sins of his own people on the cross at Calvary, who can understand it? And if we are not converted by the cross of Christ, what will not convert us? We cannot take the cross of Christ out of Christianity. And there's no shortcut to heaven unless we come and understand that the Son of God had to die for us on a cross. He took on our sins in our place and in our stead. If you're going north from Inverness, you can bypass Alness and Tain and Donagh. And going down south, you can bypass quite a lot of places. Moy and Tomatin and Aviemore and Pitlochry and all that till you reach Perth. But on your way to heaven, you cannot bypass the cross. Because this is where our Saviour died for us, in our room and in our stead. When I was with the forestry, they had, in the quiet days in winter, they had to burn, controlled burning it was called. They used to burn about 10 metres at least from the perimeter of the outside of the forestry plantation. And when they did this, and then at this time of the year with the white grass and the moorland fires, it would come over the hills and spread just quickly. But when it came to the fire trusses that was burnt already, it would stop. And this is where God's people find refuge. The fire of God's rage came upon his own Son, and it burnt round the cross. And this is where we'll find refuge, in this safe place, because it was burnt already. And when it was burnt already, it won't burn the second time. This is where we flee, because Jesus himself took on our sins, and God dealt with our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. The story is told about a hen that had chickens, and she was in the farmyard, but this day she wandered out in the field, and quickly a fire came and destroyed that field. But before the fire reached it, the hen, she caught her chicks under her wing, and they were saved. And when one of the servants of the farm came, and he took hold of the burnt hen, lifted it up, and there the chickens were all alive. And just telling us that Jesus himself wanted us to be found as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. He knew his people would be saved under his wings, and under his wings only. This then was what happened to the farmyard hen. She gave up her life, but she saved her chicks. Jesus Christ gave up his life to save us. And then there's the well that comes from eternity. When he took over and the well that has its source at the resurrection of Christ. The joy it is to come to Jesus Christ in knowing that our Saviour lives and intercedes for us. He took the sting out of death, the victory from the grave, and because he lives, we will live also. We can face all the tomorrows and what tomorrows will throw against us. The Lord will give us strength to overcome all that stands in our way. The great joy that we have in our living Saviour. When we know that we have a Saviour that knows her, all her weaknesses. I remember the night I was speaking at the prayer meeting, and we find ourselves so frail with great speakers like ministers and others too. And the minister's father said, Johnny says, if you knew what goes through my mind at times, you wouldn't say that you were unworthy to tie my shoelaces. We all have our own worries and concerns. And we have thoughts coming from the Philistines, putting things through our minds. And however dark we see ourselves, remember that Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. We only touch on the sins we know and the impurities we have in our lives. He only shows us a little, but he only shows us a little of the blessings we have if we come to himself also. And those that put their trust in him will never be put to shame. The words of we find in Christian kindness as long life's way. I used to go from place to place, especially in the north of Scotland, and especially with those that were followers of Christ. Words cannot express the kindness they showed to me, a stranger going among them, and even to their places of worship. There's no people like God's people, wherever you find them, and whatever church they belong to. They show that kindness. The lily lifts her head high above the thorns. And though the bee has the sting, he also has the honey. And it's the honey we remember often and not the sting. And then we know that we have the source that comes from the intercession of Christ. We know that our Saviour lives and intercedes for us at God's right hand. He's there morning, noon and night, 24/7. In the small hours of the morning, even when we're trying to find a text to preach on, he comes and he gives us words. And I don't suppose you heard a sermon on this text before, but this is what was put on my mind to tell you tonight. These wells that the Philistines try to close, and I wouldn't like any of you to close the wells of the invitation of the gospel to you all. What God delights in and what Jesus delights in is that all would come in repentance to him and get to know him as their personal friend and Saviour. Jesus has no delight in those that die in their sins. And it's when we try to think upon what it is to be without Christ at the last day, when people are ushered away from his presence forever, as we hear today, who can understand it? Our minds just bounced off it, just as it does bounce off the word eternity. We don't know what the word eternity means. Everything we see with the human eye here has a time limit, and it will come to an end soon. But eternity goes on. And to have an eternity without our Saviour, the emptiness, the coldness, and the separation, it's difficult for us to understand. So put your trust in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ above everything else. to the children, and I was just finished with a wee story to the children I used to like. And people that, preachers that used to tell a wee story to the children. The first day I went to school, of course, I wasn't too happy going to school because the boys that were older than me used to tell us that the teachers had a strap. And I wasn't used to this kind of punishment at all. And at first I thought they weren't from the same planet as the ones I used to know, because I was met with kindness all the days of my life. When I was young, I used to be there with them painting their boats and bringing them hammers and nails and all that. But this was the first day in school, and we had a teacher from the south of Harris. She was Flora Morrison, not Flora Ann Morrison, but Flora Morrison. And she was very kind, but we didn't know at the time. And she put us in a line, anything, anyway. And she says to us, started with the girls, and I was at the end of the line. And she started with girls and asked them what would they like to be when they grew up. And of course, the girls then, as they are now, were aiming high for nurses and teachers. But the boys, it was fishermen and sailors, anything to do with the sea. And anyway, she came to me and she says, "John, what would you like to be when you grow up?" And of course, when you're a child, you speak as a child. And I said, "I would like to be a man." And she says, and she laughed, and I says to myself, she might be from the same planet after all. But little did I know, many years after that, that one of her ministers would use that as a children's address. For Pilate said, "Behold the man." And of course, though we fall short of the man Jesus, it's good for the young ones to aim high too and take their studies seriously and aim for the top. But above all, I would like them, at the end of life's journey, that they would be with Jesus, which is far better. The hymn we used to sing at Christmas time, the last words of that verse always rings in my ear, "Happy forever are his own." And indeed they are happy forever at our Jesus' own family. And happy will they be when they reach home. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us tonight. We'll call on his name in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again that we are able to leave Jesus Christ to this group of people as the one that draws people to himself, to have life, and to have it more abundantly. May the peace of the gospel be with us tonight and forever.